Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta on Peachtree Street, overlooking majestic Buckhead, where the sky is bright and not warm as you would expect for the 1st of April and the Masters coming up pretty soon, but not bad either. We've had kind of a late winter, but not a hard one at all. So at any rate, we've got a lot to talk about today, and I want to just get started. And one of the things during the election cycle that I always did was pull up what the U.S. debt was. Right now, it is sitting at $16.78 trillion, just in the time shortly before the election when it finally hit the $16 trillion mark. I remember making a statement that, well, here we are. We're talking about that now. We're almost at 17, and the spending just keeps going on and on and on and on without stop. And we have an administration that has no intention of balancing the budget. It's not something that they think that's even important. In fact, they advertise for people to be on food stamps. Food stamps make America stronger, they say. So we've gone from a nation that had 28 million people to where now we're close to 50 million, nearly doubling in the 4 years that Barack Obama's, 4+ years that Barack Obama's been president. Now, if you think that that makes America strong, and I guess there are some people that do, I'm not one of them. It just doesn't make sense to me. Plus, it's unsustainable. The goal, however, is to make a majority of Americans dependent on the government so that they will elect Democrats who are for giving things away. Now, that's not something that, I mean, it's a strategy that, you know, comes straight out of the socialist Marxist agenda, but it is not something that is going to work in America, because there are too many people. Well, I could be wrong, but there are too many people, in my estimation, who do not want to see something like that happen. But we have things so upside down that it is hard to fathom what's going to come of us. I'll give you a good one right now, an example that has just come up. Medicare, which was specifically for helping elderly people, will be paying, as of December of this year, for transgender sex operations for people. Why in the world something that was designed and originally created to take care of older people would be on the agenda for why would we have to pay for that? Give me one reason, I mean one, that would make that a valid reason for doing that. Why should we pay for somebody to change their sex? What is that? If that's not a personal choice, I don't know what is. And the responsibility and the bill for it shouldn't be something that taxpayers like us have to pay for. Now, my brother's on the line, and I'm going to bring him on and ask him how he would feel about paying for that. Richard, how are you?
I'm good, John. I'm good. Happy Easter to you.
Well, the sex change operation is something for transgenders that they want taxpayers to pay for. What do you think about that?
Well, there's a prisoner in Massachusetts that killed his wife, I want to say 20 to 25 years ago. And he's been in prison that long. And now at the age of, I believe he's 62, he wants to become a woman. And a liberal judge in Massachusetts has okayed the sex change operation to the tune of $140,000 to the residents of Massachusetts. It brought such an uproar in this state that they have taken back his ruling and are now going to reconsider it. And I think because of the uproar that it will be changed. And I think even liberal Massachusetts is fed up with things of this nature, as I am.
Well, I think that the whole nation, these kind of things, it's lunacy on steroids. There just isn't any stopping any of this stuff. And it's amazing to me. All right, now, we're going to talk about a couple of things today that other people don't, or at least they don't a lot. And before I get to the main one, I want to just bring up this Major Nidal Hassan in Texas.
Oh, my God.
They have just made a ruling that the wounded people that he didn't kill are ineligible for Purple Hearts.
Yes.
Because if they were to receive Purple Hearts, it would mean that he would have to be labeled a terrorist, and that wouldn't be fair to him for a trial. Now, that the people that got shot, the fairness to them is kind of out the window, and obviously to the people who are dead. But it seems to me that it's been 4 years since that happened, and this guy has still not gone to trial. Why? How could that be? Why were they so reluctant to yell Allah Akbar and started shooting?
Yeah.
That's kind of like, well, what is it like? It's kind of, I mean, if you hear somebody say, "I now pronounce you man and wife," where do you think you are? You're at a wedding. If somebody yells Allah Akbar, duck, because bullets are going to start flying, or a bomb is going to go off, or some kind of terror is in operation, because that is the thing that they say before they do it. Geronimo. There are words, you know, that precipitate different things, and Allah Akbar is certainly one of them. Now, why do you think he hasn't come to trial yet?
a good question. There's absolutely no common sense reason why he hasn't been. I mean, it seems to me that people, they had a gentleman, the sergeant, that was on a local radio station up here today. He was the guy that we shot 7 times. And he's embarrassed for this country, for what they're doing and how they've treated them, being him and these other people that were injured, treating them as if they were the enemy versus this despicable murderer.
It's some really, really, really tough times. Now, last week, the Supreme Court heard argument on should there be same-sex marriage. And the social media was full of the little equal sign, which, you know, said, you know, yes, we are all for that. And how can anybody be opposed to that? And to take a Christian perspective, which comes from the Judeo-Christian heritage, which is more than 5,000 years old, which has been the standard for the United States of America since its inception, and since the Puritans and the Pilgrims and the rest came over from, you know, in the beginning of the 17th century, they want to repudiate all of that and say, well, anyone who thinks differently is wrong. God's standard is wrong. And how dare you be against something that is so fundamentally fair as putting the imprimatur of the good housekeeping seal of approval on men having anal intercourse. Now, one of the things that I have wondered in this entire, it's an avalanche, it's a public opinion thing of this just groundswell of, yes, we need to, this, you know, this is fundamentally fair. We need to have this. And yet, in the elections, that, you know, when it has been in a referendum, every state that's had it, it's lost, including Massachusetts and California, the two places where you would think that it would have absolutely gone through. Now, that takes the will of the people, and those are real votes. Now, the polls are saying that more people are for it than against it now, but in actual votes, it's lost every time. It doesn't lose in some of the court things because you get some of these judges, but as far as the voters, it's gone down, I believe, 32 out of 32 times, and if I'm wrong, it's only by one state, and I don't believe that I am. Do you know that or not?
No, you're talking about the ability to wed. Are we just talking about homosexuality as a state of mind?
Talking about men being able to marry men and women to be able to marry women. Now,
that did pass in Massachusetts. That's a law. You can get married in Massachusetts if you're gay.
It didn't. The vote on it. Yeah, I mean, there are several states where they have legalized it, But when it was a referendum for the people said, we want one man, one woman.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And that was something that was voted on up here a few years back. But, again, do you remember our mother had a saying that I always thought falls into play with a lot of
people. Remember, we're on the radio.
Yes, no, I can't.
Well, we're
not
talking,
that
folks, when we're
not
talking
that
about
thing.
Our mother, that's
yeah.
something that we, I need to absolutely say.
No, this was the one.
Very spicy.
This was the one about the tail wagging the dog. It just seems incredible to me that it's the minorities that scream the loudest seem to get their way. And to me, it seems to happen more often than not.
Now, it certainly is in this era. Now, the whole rationale for it is if people love each other, that they should be able to get married. Then, if the standard changes from one man and one woman, which it has been for 5,000 years in our Judeo-Christian heritage, then could it not be one man, two women, three men, or one guy, six women, two men? Where would there be any kind of stop in that? But more than that, what I want to say is this. We can't afford for this to become law. And let me tell you why.
Financially, you mean?
Financially.
Yeah.
And I have not heard one place on any TV show or any radio show or on the social media, not may have been there, but I have not seen it or heard it at all, the gay men live 20 years less than straight men. The average life expectancy of a male in America is just a hair under 76 years old. And white men outlive black men by about 6 months. So that's not really much difference.
No.
But men, straight men, outlive gay men by 20 years. So that is a substantial difference. And the cost for survivor benefits will bankrupt us. And we can't afford something like that. I mean, sadly, listen, this is, of course, people, listening to us will say we're just homophobic, but, we'll just have to live with that. But
they've got an answer for everything, don't they?
Well, I guess. But
You know what it is, Jack? You're just evil. We're just evil people.
Well, yesterday I was at dinner with my daughter, son-in-law, and two granddaughters, and Mary Kate, at 9 years old, says, "Grandpa, you got a hair coming out of your nose." Of course, I was mortified. I wanted to die. And, I mean, there's nothing I could do sitting there right then. But isn't that just the kind of thing that a 9-year-old would do to just absolutely knock your socks off? It's funny. And gay guys don't ever get that. They don't have kids. They don't have grandkids. They don't have some of the things, that we have had or ever will have
And I hate that for them. I think that that's really sad. Almost everybody has a story where a child or a grandchild will say something about them that is really precious and funny, like, "Grandpa, you got a hair coming out of your nose." Now, that I would even admit that shows that I must have pretty good self-esteem. I had another friend that said, well, you know, her little boy said, "Mommy, you look a lot younger when I take my glasses off." And don't you know that that is really hysterical? Gay guys don't have that. They don't have some of the things that we do, and I really feel sorry for them about it. But at the same time, I want to, being engaged in anal intercourse creates a lot of disease, not just AIDS, all kinds, because that's where bacteria is eliminated from the body. And it's something that is unhealthy. And it takes their life away from them 20 years. You know what that means, Dick? It means you and I'd be dead. Because we're past the average age for a gay male to live. And I think that that's very sad.
Yeah.
And I don't wish it upon them, but it's a choice that they make out of their lifestyle that we can't afford to pay for, nor do I think that we should. And to say, well, this is the same thing as civil rights is just totally nonsense. Somebody is born black and they're always black. Somebody's born, Indian, they're always Indian. Mexican, they're always Mexican. It's not the same thing at all. And even if somebody is, I'm not going to get into, is it a choice or is it, by nature? I do not believe it's by nature personally, but they definitely do have a choice whether to engage in something that's going to destroy their health. And, by the way, reintroduce major diseases into the population that have heretofore been gone for a long time, like tuberculosis. I mean, there are people that get it now that hasn't been a factor, for close to 100 years, I don't think. At any rate, this is something that is I haven't heard one person talk about the cost financially of what it will do to our society by making all of the benefits and everything the same as it would be for a married couple. It's a big deal. And people are afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a society now where people are not free to say, I don't care whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea. What I have just said is a significant and substantial issue that needs to be addressed. And to not be willing to talk about it for fear of reprisal, you tell me how that's any different than some of the self-righteousness that comes from people that, in church situations where, they castigate you for, you know, having ideas that don't fit into theirs. This is exactly the same thing. The religion of political correctness is just so overwhelming that people just can't get past it. Now, I've kind of said my piece about that. What do you think? I mean, does that make sense to you or not?
Well, they may think from a standpoint that, well, people should be able to do whatever they want in the
I don't care if they do whatever they want.
I don't either.
I don't care if they do whatever they want.
They can
but
do whatever they want.
But I don't think they should have to pay for it. And
I don't think
it should be legitimized.
They shouldn't be shoving it down our throats. Ooh, pardon the pun.
Oh, dear. Yes. I think that is well said, young man. Well said. That we do not want. Now, this is an item, and it's thrown out there, and it becomes the cause. While at the same time, the really important things, the undermining of Israel, the giving of weapons to Egypt, the spending of money that we don't have goes unchecked. And if you'll notice, this became a really big thing right after sequestration. And, you know, when John Boehner and the rest of the Republicans finally said no. Everything was going to fall apart. And what's happened? Nothing. There's been no impact about it. No. You know, they can't have White House tours, which, by the way, the cost of that with the Secret Service agents, they just sent them to do some other jobs. So there's been zero savings. It's just what, you know, our president did as a punishment to the American people for the affront of telling him no, which he doesn't like. No narcissist likes to be told no. They don't like it. And just by the way, at the basketball game on Saturday, I think it was the Michigan game, could have been the Syracuse game, I'm not sure, but they had a shot of Barack Obama on TV, and he was there, and the crowd booed him. They didn't put, you know, I've got the clip of it, but they didn't put it on, you know, on national TV because they didn't want all over America. But, I mean, it wasn't just like a little boo. I mean, this was the whole crowd. Ooh, might as well have been an umpire blowing a call in the World Series. It was that loud and that bad. Any rate, we've just got 1 minute left, and I'm going to let you say what you want to say about any of these things, and then we'll be done.
Well, you know that it's a known fact that a husband dies before his wife. Do you know why?
Because he can? Why?
Because he wants to.
Oh, folks, we'll just love that one, won't we? Well, listen, let me just tell everybody and just say this. We've got big troubles ahead, and we've got to be strong. We've got to be vigilant. And we have to be firm in our beliefs and our convictions, and we cannot stop. So just let me say this. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.